Today in the U, Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann, ALDE's unconventional candidate. The Liberal Party ALDE has nominated Strack-Zimmermann as one of its lead candidates. The politician is controversial and popular in Germany, but relatively unknown in Brussels. Reason why her nomination has taken most by surprise. What does she have in store for the union? Hello and welcome. I'm Giada Santana, and this is Who Pulls the Strings of the EU, a mini-series part of the Today in the EU podcast.
Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann.
Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann.
Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann.
Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann.
I have to say that when her name first emerged, I rushed to my computer to look it up. I didn't know much about her.
Geht es eigentlich mit 63 noch, dass man cool ist?
Some newspapers call Strack-Zimmermann the coolest sock of her party. To be a cool sock in German means you're cool. It's an outdated way of saying it. At 66, Strack-Zimmermann has a motorbike, refuses to use gendered pronouns, and has a far-reaching manifesto for these European elections. To understand who hides behind Strack-Zimmermann's persona, I asked our Berlin politics reporter, Nick Alipour. Hi, Nick. Let's start from the basics. Who is Marie-Agnes Strack-Zimmermann?
In short, she is probably one of the most remarkable shooting star stories in German politics of recent years. At this point, she is probably also one of the most prominent German politicians, or rather at least one of the most prominent liberal German politicians, right behind the most famous one, which is Christian Lindner, the finance minister. In short, a very remarkable figure in various ways and a polarizing figure on the German stage.
How so?
Well, let's say she is very outspoken, and especially when it comes to defense, which has become more of a polarizing issue in Germany.
Something that I find really striking as an outsider looking in about her profile is how independent and unconventional she is as a woman. I know she's a frequent attender of political TV shows in Germany. How would you describe her personality?
It's accurate what you said. That is namely that she is very unconventional in various ways. She has been known for riding a scooter in the German parliament to get from meeting to meeting. So she's really like, she's toying with this image of being different and being like quirky. And visually, she's very recognizable. You know, she has this very typically masculine looks. People recognize her. That's the other big thing. And the final thing I think about her is she's really accessible. She's talking in ways that people understand. So, for example, my colleague, Jonathan Pakroff, interviewed her at the conference over the weekend. One of the words she used there was, well, the equivalent translation would be stupid. And you wouldn't normally hear a German politician use that word. So it's like all these things that make people feel like, you know, I know what she's talking about. I understand her. She's just a lot more vivid. And I think that's an interesting thing for journalists as well. She's accessible when she's talking to journalists. If you send her a request, it might just so happen that she will respond herself and very quickly. So that's very rare. And I think this has really helped her image because she's so available. People write about her.
And that's not a common trait for politicians. She used to work for a publisher. She has a background in journalism in parallel to her local political career. What part of her past and her background do you think favors this specific disposition?
If I had to take a wild guess, I think local politics helped. Strack-Zimmermann only became a national politician sort of 10 years ago, an MP only about 7 years ago. So she comes from a context where it doesn't matter so much if you what words you use, because the media scrutiny is not so intense. And German politicians at the national level have really intensely trained to not provide any room for attack. And I think coming from local politics, you're used to saying what you think, because nobody will later, you know, call you out for it.
What does Strack-Zimmermann stand for politically?
So again, the short answer is being tough. I think that's part of her brand. But then that, as I said, relates mostly to defense policy.
And beyond?
If you look at the program, the manifesto of her party, or rather the sort of positions she's been taking in the campaign so far, they very much converge on what her party says about them. So I wouldn't go as far as saying she stands for them. I just feel like she, in many ways, echoes the talking points of her own party. So the one thing that everyone who is involved with politics knows her for these days is being tough on Russia and sending more weapons to Ukraine. And that has sort of become her trademark as of recent months. I think that's a fair summary.
Right. Schreit Zimmermann is one of the three Spitzenkandidaten of ALDE. However, her political career started at the grassroots level. She was the mayor of Düsseldorf for 6 years. But then she joined the National Party elite and now she's at the European stage. What political decisions favored her rise to power?
She was sort of the deputy mayor in a pretty big city, I'd say, in North Rhine-Westphalia. But that in itself obviously doesn't really lend itself to becoming a national politician. But what she had going for her is that the current leader of the Liberal Democrats, of the FDP, Christian Lindner, who I mentioned before, he was also from that city, right? So he knew her. She was the head of that local, of the local party branch. And so when the FDP had just failed to make the German parliament, Christian Lindner took over power. And with him, he brought Strack Zimmermann. She became the deputy leader the same year as he became the leader of the party. And in 2017, then she also became a member of the national parliament. But really, I think why, if I today ask my mother or any other slightly politically interested, but not really deep in the topic sort of person, they will know her. The reason is really the Ukraine war. She became the, as you said, head of the defense committee in the German parliament in 2021, and shortly after Russia attacked Ukraine. And so there was this defense really sort of like in an exposed position, Strack Zimmermann as a defense expert, straight talking, very tough. And there was the war on the other hand that just naturally lent itself to her profile really rising very quickly in Germany.
One could say that the latest geopolitical events sort of served her political career in a way, because defense is her strongest suit. Is this why she was chosen by ALDE?
As far as we're aware, ALDE was probably gearing up towards another very prominent defense politician, namely Kaja Kallas, the Estonian prime minister. That was the rumors you heard everywhere. But then that seemed to have fallen apart quite close to, the deadline when ALDE wanted to, you know, announce their lead candidate. So there was no one really who could have taken over at short notice other than Strack Zimmermann.
That's really interesting. Would you say she was a plan B candidate?
I wouldn't go as far because I think it diminishes her credit, because she is also a very prominent face and a very accomplished woman as well. But I think she wasn't the candidate that they had in mind first.
Liberals are experiencing a downward trend in polls overall. Do you think that she can bring the party back on track?
I think the party hopes so. At least if you take the conference that took place over the weekend of the party, everyone seems to be quite confident that the polls are moving ever so slightly in the right direction, from about 5% slightly gearing towards the 6%, perhaps. And I think that has something to do with her. She's very well known. She's very popular as well in Germany, or not very popular in the sense that everyone likes her, but people know her. And she's one of the few sort of like really well-known and present figures in this national campaign. So I think that's why the party really banks on her. She's on all the posters as well.
She has extensive experience in defense politics. Schreit Zimmermann is currently the chairwoman of the defense committee of the German Bundestag. She's worked in NATO before. Let's delve deeper into probably the most crucial part of her campaign, defense.
As I said, a lot of it is toughness, is, you know, sending more heavy weapons to Ukraine.
It's nearly too late, because if we don't do more, absolutely more for Ukraine, we lost this war, and this would be a catastrophe for the whole world, not only for Europe.
And also in particular Taurus. I think Taurus has really become associated with her. Taurus is a long-range missile, supposed to be a very strong weapon, which could really aid Ukraine, strike targets behind enemy lines. But the Chancellor has refused so far to deliver to Ukraine. He said it's a very dangerous weapon, and so it would require German soldiers to do the targeting on the ground in Ukraine. Germany can't do that. And she's been really tough in calling him out, saying that this is not accurate. So that is really sort of a trademark thing. The other things are somewhat conventional, I'd say. You know, she really wants Germany to keep the 2% target of the NATO or you know, go beyond. One thing that's somewhat interesting is that she's been calling for a European army time and time again in the campaign. It's a bit of a proposal that is so much in the future that people don't talk about it much. That she does.
How does her stance differ from what other politicians involved in this defense strategy say?
Basically, if you talk to other defense politicians, they will emphasize there's nothing close to a European army right now, or rather specifically from the Chancellor's party. And they say, yes, okay, in the future, maybe, if they say it at all. but it's not a relevant talking point. And she's raising it, you know, and I find that curious.
Does that mean that overall the proposals she's bringing forward are not concrete?
No, I wouldn't say that, because she has some very concrete proposals, as I said, with Taurus and deliveries of weapons and so forth. It was all very concrete. But it's perhaps something that is not so common in German politics, is that she's developing long-term ideas.
In her manifesto, illegal migration is mentioned 3 times. What type of migration policy does Strack-Zimmermann support?
I think most people wouldn't have associated her with migration at all before this campaign. And I think the fact that it's now among the proposals sort of talked about is probably rather a sign that it is a big topic within the EU and for the Liberals, because the Liberals also have a significant sort of pool of, I would say, slightly more right-leaning voters regarding this topic. And so they really have to deliver this talking point. The one thing that I think stands out, which the Liberals have been pushing for in particular, is the so-called Rwanda model, which is, you know, processing asylum claims at the border of the EU in third countries. That one is an official demand that she has as part of the manifesto. That one will be an interesting one to watch, what is going to happen with that after the election or at the national level before.
One of the talking points of the Liberals is also a certain disapproval of von der Leyen's actions lately. Direktor Strack-Zimmermann spoke about the poor performance of the president of the European Commission. What is she specifically critical of?
Again, something where I would say most people don't associate her with bureaucracy. It's now, because the position is so important for the FDP, she's sort of forced to talk about more than defense. And the parts sort of obviously that she's very critical about are the ones that the Liberals are critical about, which is bureaucracy. Von der Leyen's green regulation has created too much bureaucracy. That's also what she told Jonathan in his interview over the party conference this weekend, where she's saying basically what von der Leyen has done was quote unquote stupid, because it has created more regulation rather than trying to get to net zero via markets and things such as the carbon emission trading scheme. And she's been very critical as well of the combustion engine ban, which her party is also very critical of. So you see, you know, the talking points are very much echoing what the Liberals have been saying for months and months.
Finally, how will Strack-Zimmermann influence EU institutions if elected?
At the national level, she's very well known, and people in the FDP hope that she can sway polls. At the European level, she's completely unknown to a large extent, let's put it that way. So to be honest, it is a bit unpredictable how her character will translate. So the one thing I can say is obviously there's a language barrier, because she's German native, and I, you know, it will depend a lot on how much she can translate of that character into English. But the other thing where she will play a role is the parliament's defense sort of profile, which has been low. So an interesting thing, for example, is that right now there's only a defense subcommittee in the parliament. ALDE supports a committee. So who knows, maybe Strack-Zimmermann will play a role in that new defense committee, if it is actually happening. So I see that. And I would say, to conclude, really, the one thing where we can be sure she will have an impact is in the national election campaign, and whatever that means for the European election campaign. So if the FDP does better because of her, it will obviously mean something for the European stage. So I think this is where we have to watch her first, and then the rest, time will tell.
I'm Giada Santana, and this was Your Activist Today in the EU podcast. Visit Your Activist to stay on top of the latest news, sign up for our podcast newsletter, and if you haven't subscribed yet, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever it is that you get your podcasts. Leave us a star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite streaming platform. It will really help us spread the word about our work. This episode was produced by Nicoletta Ionta and me. See you on Thursday. As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, Euractiv is part of the Trust Project.